It's always a privilege, and wherever I get to speak and share, but especially here, because I'm looking out on friends, Sunday school teachers, my elders, and I've said it once, the only place that I'm actually really, really nervous is here, because what am I going to tell my Sunday school teachers that they haven't taught me already? But love is in the air. Yes, it is. But that's what I want to talk about tonight. Every single time that a missionary comes through and gets a chance to speak, even though what everyone wants to see, they want to see the cool pictures and everything, but they always also want to share what the Lord's doing on their heart. And what's been on my heart is to know the love of God. And so tonight, what I want to talk about is love. The love of God. If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, 28 through 3:3. Says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." This passage is talking about being ready for the Lord's coming. But sandwiched in there is this verse that you learn from a young age of, behold the love of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And I think it's bringing that whole passage together. And so what I want to do tonight is I want us to take a moment and just behold his love for a few moments together. You see, this word, behold, in the Greek, is actually a command that we are to take time, look intently, to know, to understand, to see all of what is the love of God. Now, we could be focusing on how can I love like God? How can I love my neighbors? Or how can I love God? But how much time do we spend knowing or beholding his love for us? Every single one of us knows God loves me. And we say that and we preach it. God loves you. God loves me. And that's true. Let's take a moment and do that. There's a reason that we need to do that. It's because it's necessary. If you could turn in your Bibles really quickly to Ephesians 3:14 through 19. It says this, and this is a prayer of Paul. And I want you to really pay attention to this prayer because, in part, this is what I'm going to be asking you guys to do. For those of us who are, for me and for those in Mexico. But this is his prayer. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge." And why do we do this? Why is it important to Paul that they know God's love? "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's why it's important to take time and really contemplate, to look upon, to behold the love of God, to have all the fullness of God, to have that intimacy with him. So it is necessary. And so now we're going to take a time and see the sufficiency of it. We're going to behold the love of God just for a moment. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I have to be honest, I got from somebody else. It was a response he had to some, actually a Muslim had a question. And this was his response of why he didn't believe in the Islam God, Allah. He said, because I can't see how he loves. He has a lesser kind of love than my God. And then he went on to explain these three things. He said, God's love is unconditional. 1 John 4:10, it says, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. There's no condition there. We didn't come to God saying, oh, I love you, or I'm going to do this, that, and the other to get God's love. We are enemies of God, but he started loving us. It's an unconditional kind of a love. But there's another part of God's love. It's also universal. I'd like us to say this verse together. It's one that everyone knows. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, for God so loved the church? No. For God so loved Israel? No. It says the world. It's a universal love. God loves everybody. And that's awesome. It's an unconditional love. It's a universal love. And finally, it's an unending love. It never ends. My favorite passage, my favorite chapter in all the Bible is Romans chapter 8. So if I can stick it in when I'm talking, I like doing that. So if we can turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is nothing that's going to stop God from loving us. It's an unending, it's a continuous love. It's unconditional, it's universal, and it's unending. And if we think about those three passages, these are concepts throughout Scripture, but if we look at the three passages that I chose, there's a common theme in those three passages. That's Christ and his death. And that is the greatest expression of the love of God that we have. Now, we just took a few moments to think about God's love. And I want to encourage you, as I've been doing this year, to think about, to ponder, to behold the love of God. Now, the passage continues on. Behold the love, behold what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we. Who are we? Or I should maybe change the question and say, what were we? Who were we? I'm not going to go through the entire list, but I have a list. Let me just mention some things. alienated from God, blind, fleshly-minded, corrupt, darkened, dead in sin, deceived by the devil, by the world system, by our own hearts, filthy, destitute of the truth, disobedient. I could go on. It's not a pretty picture. That's who we are, or were. And we can say that's what we were because why? We are called children of God. That's love. When we think of God being our Father, what does a father do for his children? He guides them. He protects them. He provides for them. And one of the greatest things, a good father always wants to listen to his children. It doesn't matter if they're like, "Daddy, Daddy, I want this," and it's just something they want. They don't need it. But a good father wants to listen to that. He wants to even hear the little needs, the little wants that they have. Or maybe it's a need, but a father wants to listen. And God wants to listen to us. And that's the purpose. That's what this love is coming, the love of God is coming toward, is that, to make us his children. And he's called us his children. Lastly, and when I memorized this verse as a child, I was preparing for this message, actually, I was kind of blown away that there was another part to the whole verse that I didn't know it was even really there. And it made me make a pause because I was like, how does this fit in everything I'm looking at here? The part that says, "Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him." See, this is the effect of love. As we love somebody, we get closer and closer to them. When we become more and more like that, or have that closer, intimate relationship with that person, they kind of rub us off on us, and we rub off on them, and we kind of separate ourselves a little bit. And when the world sees us, they know we're Christians, and they know there's a God, whether they accept it or not. But they don't accept our God. They don't accept our Father. And that's why they don't accept us. The beginning of this passage is talking about abiding, so that we're not ashamed when Christ comes. And the end of this passage is talking about when we see him, we will be like him. And the common factor in all of this is love. As we focus on the love of God, as we behold his love, we're abiding in him. And we will be ready for that day he appears. And we'll be longing for that day that he's coming. The world may reject our God, our Father. The world may reject us as we become more and more like him. But we will be so in love with God as we see his great love for us. And so what I want to leave with you guys is two things. One, behold the love of God. Look at it. Contemplate it. But also, with Paul, I would ask, as I'm going over some of these names, I'd ask if the Lord puts on your heart a name that I mentioned, write it down and pray this, that this person will know the love of God. Some of these people have already taken the first step. They're already believers and they know some of the love of God, but as Paul said, the height, the depth, the breadth, we can't know all the love of God, but we can certainly look deeper into it. And I would ask you to pray for those individuals that I'm about to talk about, that they will know the love of God, maybe for the first time, but maybe at a deeper level. So the last time I was with you, I mentioned that I was helping at a drug rehab center. Every Tuesday from 7 to 8, I have liberty to preach the word. I have liberty to sing songs with the guys. And we do that. And then once a month, on the first Friday of every month, we go and we have a special service just for them. We bring a meal, and sometimes I speak at that, sometimes I'm just playing the guitar. But it's a time to be able to share with these guys. This drug rehab center is not a Christian drug rehab center. But they know that all these guys need healing in every aspect of their lives, including spiritually. And so they have asked us to come and speak to these guys and be that spiritual part of healing that they need. sadly, at a drug rehab center, a friend of mine talked to somebody that's his ministry, that's what he does. And he said, if you have 10 guys, probably 5 will be back in a drug rehab center at some point. You might get one who gets it, who goes to church and understands and has a relationship with God. And I wanted to mention, these two guys are our 1 out of 10. The one on, and I can't see how you're seeing it. Okay, yes. The one on this side is Sean. The one on this side is Sergio. Sergio very recently left the drug rehab center. He finished the program. He's in love with the Lord. He had a girlfriend before he entered the drug rehab center, before he was saved. That relationship has broken off now because of his love for the Lord, and he's continuing strong for the Lord. And actually, when I took this picture, this is at the drug rehab center the Friday that we had that special service. The reason he's there is because he's now coming to church. He's helping us prepare the food and everything, and he's serving with us to the guys at the drug rehab center, which is just really awesome to be able to see that. Sean has been at the drug rehab center for over a year, not because he can't get out or he's not doing well. It's because he's doing very well and he wants to stay. And there's been some changes of leadership there. We still are able to go and that's no problem. But because of these changes of leadership, he now has more of a leadership kind of a role at the drug rehab center. He's only been saved maybe a year, but they call him the Christian counselor at the drug rehab center. And he loves God's word. And I was able to get him a commentary so he could learn what every single little verse is saying and everything. And he's so excited, and he even has his own little Bible study he does. It's just really awesome to see that. And I believe his goal is to be in full-time ministry someday. So these are the exception, not the rule. But it's really exciting to see when the Lord is touching lives, to see them going on for the Lord. Also, the last time I was with you, I mentioned that I have the soccer ministry. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I meet with these soccer guys. None of them go to church, but they like to play soccer. And so here we are at the church. Basically, it's our church parking lot. We made these goals out of metal that can fold up, which they always say, can we have these? Well, actually, they have them right now. I used to put them in the church and save them there, and they're like, no, can you leave them so we can keep playing? And yeah, go ahead. And so with that, and a soccer ball, that's all you need. Sometimes we have up to 12, maybe 15 guys playing, and we just rotate, kind of like the basketball ministry, but we do it twice a week. Tuesdays, since that's our prayer meeting, we just play, and that's it. But on Thursdays, I've been working with them and slowly been praying with them. I'd bring a snack. And now, and what I used to say, I'd say, can I have my 5 minutes to be able to speak to you about God's word? And they got the routine, and now they're doing it. It's been slow, but now, if I bring out the snacks, and they sit down, they're waiting, and if I'm not quick enough, they're like, are you going to share from the word, Steve? And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm like, can I have my, or I might say, can I have my 5 minutes? Oh, take 10, 15, 30 minutes, however much you want. And so they hear a little bit of the gospel or a little message to encourage them to seek the Lord, that he is all sufficient for them. Here's some more pictures that I forgot to show. This is one guy I wanted to talk about, and I may only have a couple months more of being able to talk with this guy. His name is Rodrigo. And Rodrigo, he's been, I think, not ever since I started the soccer ministry, but he's been around, and he even was a part of the kids program when they used to have that. Well, they still have it at the church, but when he was younger. And he really respects me a lot. And he said one of the nicest things I think anyone has ever told me. He said, you're the most Christian guy I've ever met. And what he meant by that is, you're always at the church. Some people come, you know, just on Sundays or Tuesdays, but you're always here. You're doing something. And whenever I'm there, whether I'm preparing a message or cleaning or whatever, he knows he's on into the church and he wants to just talk about whatever. But he's never disrespected me. And he said, you know, I'm not a great guy. And I don't respect everybody, but I respect you. And he always listens intently whenever I'm speaking on Thursdays. And this past time, I had the privilege with Sarah Jane. She wanted to meet him, and they talked. I was translating, but she went through the entire gospel presentation with him, something that I hadn't had an opportunity to do. I had talked to him about the Lord and talked to him about the gospel, but not the entire presentation, all the way through once. And he listened to the whole thing, and she encouraged him to read his Bible, and he said, you know, I don't really do that sort of thing, but I'll think about the things you said. So before we left, we weren't able to find him, but we left somebody with the Bible to give to him. He's planning on joining the Marines in a couple months. He's graduating high school, and as soon as he turns 18, that's what he wants to try to do. And if he does that, then I will have probably no contact with him, maybe for the rest of his life. So please be in prayer for Rodrigo. He is not saved. Please be in prayer for his salvation. Well, I talked to you guys about the Awana program, and I specifically want to talk about Children's Day. Now, I have heard that that once was a thing at some point in some places in the United States, but I never had the privilege of enjoying that day. But it's a really big thing in Mexico. Children's Day is huge. And so all the churches, all schools, everybody everywhere is trying to do something for Children's Day. And so we never know if we're going to have any really a great number of kids to come to our Children's Day. Well, this year we planned, and what you're going to see everybody dressed up and all sorts of stuff. And the Lord really blessed. We had over 80 kids come to our small church. And here's the lineup of all the leaders. We all dressed up as superheroes and all sorts of stuff. And so we all got together, sang a song, and then we had just games. But we didn't give out prizes for these games. We just had games for about an hour or so. And every single one of these teams that you're going to see had to come up with their game, had to create it, and get their own dressed up the way that they dressed up. And it was just really neat because all these youth, these are the youth of the church. It's basically the youth group. And it was great. It was awesome to just see the Lord working in the lives of these guys and girls. After this, I'm going to go through all the youth and talk about all of them and give you an update on them. What's really cool about this one is this is miniature golf, as you can see. But Alondra, and just a question, how many of you still have your bookmark from last year? I see about 5 hands. Okay. Thank you for those of you who are still praying for that, for those names. But Alondra and her brother, Jose, put together this miniature golf. They built that from scratch. And it took them, I think, 2 days. And she's in college, he's in school. And they really put a lot of work and a lot of effort into this. And the Lord blessed beyond what we imagined. We also had some painting little things for the littler ones that couldn't really play the games so they could be involved as well. After that, we all came together and we all had a message about, it was like a lion and a mosquito, I think, but it was about respecting others. And then after that, we went outside again, and just to let you guys know, I was really sick. I had a cold and I had a headache, and I was done. But the Lord gave me strength, and we went back outside, and we had these inflatables, which is always a great treat for kids. And even some from the church came by, and they helped us put together the goodie bags. I think most of those were already done. But they also helped us get some nachos and some hot dogs and just make it a really fun time for the kids. So that program of the Awana program is still going well, going strong. I did want to mention, the Lord placed on my heart to, because I've moved, I was outside of I was in the city of Ensenada. But now the Lord placed on my heart to move into the area where the actual church is and not live like 30, 40 minutes away, which I was traveling that almost every day anyway. But then I was able to be there. And so now I had neighbors. And the Lord laid on my heart, why don't you invite the kids around where you are? And the Lord finally gave me the opportunity to do that. Something very important in Mexico is introductions. And so if you don't know somebody, it's really hard to kind of get in there and start getting to know people. What was fortunate is where I'm staying, a family from the church stayed there before. And so everybody around there knows that family. And so one day, me and the mother of that family and her daughter, we went and we invited the kids. And she wanted to keep inviting more kids. And I said, wait, we can't invite more. She said, why? I said, well, I don't have any more room in my vehicle to bring them over to the church. So that was a blessing because all the kids the first time went, but many of them are still continuing to go. And that's just such a blessing that the Lord opened that opportunity up as well. So now I'd like to talk about the youth. There's been growth, not in numbers, but in maturity in the youth. And so I'm going to just be using the pictures from when we had Children's Day, so you might not recognize them a little bit because it kind of, this is Batman and a mime, but the mime is Edgar, the elder's son. And he's continuing on for the Lord. He's growing and still involved in the music. Still be in prayer for him that he can have a kind of a companion in the faith, which he does not have right now. For Batman, or Oliver, I mentioned the last time I was here that Oliver, Jose, and Alondra, that their family situation was not good. It's gotten a lot better than it was before. Continue to be in prayer for all three of them to continue to grow. But what's been really neat, and I don't have the video to show you, but I have a video of Oliver. He's teaching the kids a Bible verse. And Oliver and Jose are now teaching kids. Alondra is now one of the Sunday school teachers who rotates. And this is really neat to just see them continuing growing in these ways, getting more and more involved. I was going to say the one in pink, but that's not going to help. The one over here. That's Esmeralda. Ruben and I got together at the beginning of the year, and we felt that it was very important to have an emphasis this year on getting in the Word of God, because all the youth would be like, oh yeah, I know I should get into God's Word, but I just can't find the time, or I don't know how, or something like that. So the Lord gave us these quiet time, Word of Life Quiet Time Diaries, and so we gave them to all the youth. Unfortunately, practically none of the youth are actually doing it, except for Esmeralda. She continues, and I can ask her, what did you read, and what are you thinking about in this passage? And she's right with it. And she says that she hasn't been as faithful as she wants to be, but she's still studying God's Word. Talk to you a little bit about Esmeralda. I know many of you get my newsletter. She's one of the ones who was baptized last year around August, September. And none of her family is saved. She's the only one. Her family came to see her baptism. And she quickly had to leave because she was going to hang out with her folks. But be in prayer for her, because sometimes when she comes to church, you can see that she wants to be at church, but her heart is for her family. And she doesn't have fellowship at home. And also, I can't imagine, since growing up in a Christian family, of knowing that you have a loved one who's really close to you, like a father or a sister who doesn't know the Lord, and to have that on your heart as well. Be in prayer for her family, that they will come to know the Lord and see the testimony of their daughter, who's very faithful at church, involved with Awana when she can be, and in God's Word. So be in prayer for her. This is Captain America, or Jose. And Jose, he's now the one in charge of the PowerPoint for the music. He's also teaching some. He's also growing. And it's really neat to see him growing. He had some struggles this past year, but he's continuing on. And again, it's just really neat to be able to see these guys growing and continuing on for the Lord. Chewy and Larissa, or Minnie Mouse and Pirate. But Chewy and Larissa, this is now the couple at the church. And so please be in prayer for that. But Larissa, last year I mentioned for prayer for her salvation. She is now saved and she may be baptized very soon. Be in prayer for that, that she will make the decision to continue on and growing in that way and being baptized, making that testimony. And for Chewy, the Lord gave me the privilege this past year and part of this year to give him some discipleship courses so that he can know how to take God's word and really dig in, really study it, and also prepare a message. And there's talk. It's more than talk. It's going to happen eventually, where he's going to start giving devotionals on Tuesdays, our prayer meeting night. So that's really exciting to see him continue on. But please be in prayer also for this, their relationship that doesn't mess any of their growth up at this point, because they're both young and young in the faith. Here's Alondra, and she's, as I said, she's teaching Sunday school for Children's Day. We were like, oh, we'd like to have cupcakes for all the kids, along with the nachos and the hot dogs, and who would make it? Oh, Alondra, will you make it? Sure, I'll make it. That's like 100 cupcakes she was asked to make. And I knew that she had no one really to help her do that, and she's in college and studying and all that. So right after the meeting, I went up and I said, hey, Sarah's going to be down. Would you like us to help out? I was sick as a dog, so I wasn't able to help that much, but we were able to help her out a little bit. But it was really neat to just see her willingness to just get in there and do what needed to be done to make this a special day for the children, and just willing to serve. There was a time, I think it was the first Sunday, actually, this year in January, I got to the church, and we opened it up. Well, I opened it. I was the only one there. Just a mess, because we had like a long break because of Christmas and New Year's and all that. Just a mess. And I was like, I don't want people to come the first Sunday and it be a mess. So I was cleaning up, and I thought, I wonder if Alondra would be willing. So she only lives maybe 5 minutes walking distance from the church. So I called her up and said, Alondra, are you ready for church? She said, yeah. I said, would you be willing to come over here and like help me clean? And she is just always willing to serve. And please be in prayer for Alondra that she will have. She's also in need of this companionship kind of encouragement in the faith. She's growing so much, and she loves to serve so much. And it kind of breaks my heart that she doesn't have somebody by her side to encourage her in her walk. I thank the Lord, though, that her brothers and her mom are saved. Her father still is not saved. But just somebody around her age who can really be an encouragement for her. Well, I maybe did not mention, those of you who have bookmarks, I maybe didn't mention somebody. And there's a reason for that. It's because always in ministry, there are difficulties. And storms come. When I was here a year ago, I really feel like the message and the presentation was really upbeat. I was so excited. The Lord had brought me to this new place, and I was sure that the Lord had brought me there, and things were going great. When I got back, every single family in the church, something was happening. Every single family. That's not even, I'm not exaggerating. It was every single family had something going on. And this church has just gone through so much this past year. I know Shannon Hills has been going through a lot this past year and this year as well. This assembly is a church plant, and it's been a church plant for about 13 years or more, and it just has never gotten off the ground. The area that it's in, and because of the difficulties, I got to kind of see this a little more. The area that it is in, nobody is from there. Everyone has come in from somewhere else, and they're probably wanting to go somewhere else. So we have kind of like a revolving door, people coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Something that is really sad to hear. The elder of the chapel there said, in my 13 years here, there has not been one individual that I've been able to count on ever. Maybe they'll start off strong of doing just a simple thing. Maybe it's cleaning the chapel. And they start out strong, and they come every week, Saturday maybe, and they clean up the chapel and the bathrooms, because whenever we have the Awana program, they just destroy everything, the kids. And so maybe they start out good, but then you can't count on them. And that's just really hard to see, but it's also great to see the faithfulness of this brother who's been there for this long, continuing on despite all that. So in this past year, we've lost maybe a third, maybe more, of those who were attending. We lost the leadership family. We lost a bunch of the youth. And it was like it was growing, 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 and then just kind of fell apart. And we've had people coming in. We've had people who left and returned. And the Lord's still working, and you still see things happening. But there are always difficulties in ministry and in every chapel and in every place. So don't just be in prayer for me in Mexico, be in prayer for everybody. And even the elders here at this church, this chapel, because I know they need your prayers as well. Because maybe you think everything's hunky-dory and everything's great here, but the elders know what's the things that are going on that you might not know that are going on, or maybe they're struggling with things, and everybody needs the prayers of everybody, because we're all weak. We're all needy. We need the prayers of everybody. I also had the privilege to have some Bible studies. And I don't know why there. To have some Bible studies this past year. One individual who got baptized, he's been a believer a little over a year now, Valentin. I got to give him some first steps of Bible studies, which was really neat to do. And what was so cool about it, and I never had this experience of having a Bible study with somebody who was a new believer, but you'd tell him something, and then he wants to do it. It was the greatest thing in the world. I'd be like, you know, it'd be great if you read your Bible. And he was like, oh, where could I start? And I'm like, oh, you could start, you know, in John, or you could start in Matthew or whatever. And I'd come back the next week and be like, oh, I finished Matthew. I'm now in Mark. I'm like, whoa. And because I was expecting, you know, like struggling, like, you know, I really can't do it. But no, he really got in the Word. And something that was really neat is one Tuesday, I believe it was, he grabbed me and he said, can you teach me how to pray? And I said, okay, I'll come by your house. And I went by, and he got out his Bible, and he thought I was going to give him this really long lecture on how to pray and everything. I said, you're not going to like my answer. I said, the only way you can grow in prayer is to pray. And to pray with those who know how to pray. And I said, you know how you're reading your Bible? Pray the things you're reading. I said, if you listen to those who you respect now, who you know how to pray, you'll hear Scripture as they're praying, because that's the basis. That's what we're believing in. And so that was a really neat experience with Valentin. This is a couple. It's a sad story, but this is a couple, Christian and Rosario. Rosario, you may remember from last year. But this is a couple that came together. They're now living together. They're not married. I believe she's 19 and he may be 19 as well, something like that. I don't believe they're going to continue studying or anything. They can't. They don't really have money. He works on a farm when he can. I believe she works on the farm as well. and they're having a really tough time. But they left the church and they've come back and they want to stay. They want to continue on and they want to get married and they want to do things right. Christian, I'm not sure if he is saved or not. Be in prayer for him. But when I first met Rosario, she's very quiet. She's still very quiet. But she didn't even talk to me. So I kind of would get over to her and just really try to encourage her to say something. How's your day? Fine. But I try to get a little more out of her, kind of force it, so that she would feel more comfortable talking to me, because she didn't talk to anybody. And Christian, he's very much the same way. But the Lord's allowed me to, now that I'm living there, be like, you want to come over this week? I want you to come over and we're going to have a meal together. And so they just come over, and we haven't had a Bible study per se yet, but I've gotten to go through the whole gospel with Christian. He said it was interesting, which I was hoping for a little bit more, but he said it was interesting. He listened. But be in prayer for this relationship that is forming between us. And I believe it was the last Sunday we were at the chapel there, because the last Sunday we were at the chapel there, we had started, we were shaking hands, and similar to what we were doing, and Christian handed me this poster, full color poster, with pictures of one of our times together at my house, and it said, "No greater love than hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." And I know that poster wasn't cheap to have printed off, and it just really touched me. I was like, the relationship is forming. That is great. Be in prayer that this continues on and that Christian will be saved, or that we can confirm his salvation. And this couple will focus on the Lord and will grow up, grow in him. I have no idea. Is this clock correct? Can I continue? I see everyone like, okay, I'll try to be brief. I'm almost done. Guess it's showing. Okay. So the reason I have this picture is we had a conference with all the different assemblies. There's three, kind of four assemblies in Ensenada. Tijuana, there was no assemblies that I knew of. But in Ensenada, there's three or four. And we had a conference with everyone about church planting. I love church planting. And I was sitting there, and the first speaker came up for the conference, and I'd been looking at him during the entire time we were there. We even had a dinner together, and I was like, you know, I think I know that guy. I don't know where, but I know him. And just listening to them kind of introducing all the different conference speakers, and there was something that kept on coming up. Argentina, Argentina, Argentina. Those of you who don't know, I studied Spanish in Word of Life Argentina. In Buenos Aires, Argentina. And I studied at Word of Life. And just Argentina, Argentina, Argentina. And Word of Life, Word of Life, Word of Life. I was like, I wonder. And so after he'd finished, and I noticed, I think I've seen this lesson before somewhere. And so I came down, and I said, do you know Word of Life? He said, yeah. I said, do you teach there? He said, yeah. I said, hi, professor. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you again. He said, oh, I had no idea. What year were you here and all that? And that was just, that's this guy. And so I started talking to him about my ministry there in Ensenada. And I also mentioned, you know, but my heart is to go to this particular area called Jalisco. It's one of the states in Mexico, because there's very little churches, any kind of evangelical churches in that area. And I said, but I have no contacts. I don't know anybody there. And he said, come with me. And so I followed him, and it was like we were marching through all the people. And he brought me to one of the other conference speakers who lives in Mexico but studies in Argentina. And it was like a big family reunion, because like once you're a Word of Life student, you're like family. And we started talking. He said, yeah, I know a couple there. He has a church in a different place. Actually, let me show you the place. If I can show it. Thank you. In Querétaro. He has a church there in Querétaro, and I believe his ministry is wanting to spread out a little bit, and that's why he has connections to Jalisco. And so, Lord willing, this July, I'll be going to Querétaro. He has an English school that, summer school for 3 weeks. I'll be going the first week to Querétaro. And serving there and getting to know him better with hopes, as the Lord leads, to be able to have that connection with him and this other family in Jalisco to plant churches in Jalisco. So that was just really neat, being able to see how the Lord worked all that out. So even though most of you already know about Sarah Jean and probably talked to her and know all the story, I'm just going to give a short version. I met her on brotherandmatch.com, which is on the internet, and we've been talking for 8 months, and she's my fiance there. Short version. Our dream is this, what we believe the Lord is calling us to do. I showed this the last time I was here, the parts in green, orange, and yellow, and red. You can kind of see the percentages going lower and lower as you go through the colors. Our percentages is the percentage of how many evangelical churches per population there is in those states. You'll see this purple area that's called, I believe, the circle of silence. You've probably heard the 1040 window. This is kind of like that. But I learned something new talking to a friend of mine who was a missionary in Jalisco who is now serving the Lord in Turkey. She said that this area, these five states in Mexico, it's not just the least evangelized, least churched area of Mexico. That's what I thought. It's the least area in all of Latin America. There's places in Jalisco which there's 0% churches, there's 0% evangelicals in those areas. And Sarah Jane and I, after marriage, our desire is to go to these areas and to plant churches as the Lord allows. So be in prayer for that. A lot has to go into that. But we would covet those prayers. We need those. So thank you for giving me 5 more minutes of your time. I have enjoyed being able to share with you all. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share with my family here. Father, I know that the people here in this room have such a great love for you and love for me and have supported me in many, many ways through their prayers and much more. And I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Mexico and what you've been allowing me to do. And I pray, Lord, that my brothers and sisters here, along with them who are in Ensenada, will be able to behold your love today and during this week and for the rest of our lives and for eternity, to know the love of Christ. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you get up and go, I believe there's an announcement that needs to be made.
Good evening. I just quickly wanted to, for those of you that may not know, we're having a cupcake reception in the worship room immediately following this. And the purpose is to thank Mark and Pam Armfield for their service to the Youth Alive group. I was asking Mark, or texted Mark earlier today to ask him how long it's been, and he told me that he started doing this in 1993, so it's been 23 years. They are this year stepping down from serving with the youth leader group, and we are very thankful for the many years of service that they've given towards this ministry. This is a ministry where from time to time you see fruit and you're thankful for it and it encourages you, but I don't think we'll know the full impact of what you guys have done for the youth group until we get to heaven. And that's just the truth about that ministry. Many kids that they have mentored and worked with for 23 years, providing leadership, an example for us leaders who, you know, started with them. Scott and I were discussing that Cindy and Scott and Sharon and I had started in 2002 with Youth Alive, and that and Pam and Mark had already been doing it, and they've just provided an example for us, shown much care and concern for the young people. 23 years of, I don't know if you know our schedule, but we have a social and a service project every month throughout the school year. And so 23 years of socials and service projects and mission trips on top of that, and in the every other year summers and messages, the fellowship that we've shared, not only among the leaders but the students as well, snacks every night, you know, at Youth Alive, and skits for the senior dinners for 23 years. But they've just shown a tireless servitude for the young people in this ministry, and we want to celebrate with them this years of service that they've shown towards this ministry, and we will miss working with you guys. But I keep telling Mark he'll come back as a guest speaker and maybe host some socials or something. But Colossians says in chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And I can attest that Mark and Pam both have heartily served with us for these many years, and even before I got into it, and I just sincerely thank them for that service, and we'll miss serving with you. But please join us in the worship room to have a cupcake and to thank them for their years of service. And I'd like to give them a round of applause. So with that, we are officially dismissed.